The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha is Matis Umasei. In the beginning of Parshas Matos, we have the Parsha of Nedarim and Shvuos, vows and oaths. Ish ki yido ned l'Hashem o yishov ha-shvuah l'esor Yisrael nafshoi. The person takes a shvuah to Hashem, or he takes a vow to forbid something on himself. L'yachel dvorei, he should not break his word. And all that goes out from his mouth, he should fulfill. And then the Torah goes into length to explain various halachos. Now, from this parsha, we see, firstly, that a person was given a power, a keach, to be me'agid es atzmei ayidei diburei, to bind himself very strongly to what he says. He says that he will not do this, he will not eat this, or I will do this, I will eat this. Then he's bound by a shvura or a neder to do it. And if he transgresses what he said, now this is something that the Torah didn't say, he said, if he transgresses his words, then he transgresses a mitzvah zeh and a mitzvah leisaseh, lo yachel devorei, and kechol hayetzei mipiv yaseh, that he should not break his words, and everything that comes out of his mouth he should fulfill. This is speaking, though, not where he merely says he's going to do it, but he says he will do it. He makes the statement in accordance to a statement of a vow, a neder, or a shvuah. Now on this we have a many, many halachas. And we have mesechtes, mesechta nedarim, mesechta shvuos, mesechta nozir, that deals with all of the many, many of these halachas. But it's well known the severity of a neder or a shvuah, and especially if he uses the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, when he takes a shvuah. And as it states in the Eser Dibreis on the Ten Commandments, Leisiso es Hashem elekecho lashov, ki leyenake Hashem es asher yiso eshmei lashov. One of the commandments is that you shall not swear by Hashem's name in vain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forgive he who swears by his name in vain. And the Gemara tells us that when this dibur, this command came off of Har Sinai, Nizdazdeya kol eilam kule, the whole world trembled. And it's well known that it was not uncommon for many Jews who would not swear with Hashem's name, and many even without Hashem's name, even where they were not swearing in vain, and even where they would swear truthfully, and even if it meant hefsid la'atzmai, a great loss of money to themselves. For example, if they were able to recover or gain a great amount of money, but it would require a shvur, to swear, they would waive the money rather than take the shvuah, even though they were telling the truth. Now there, according to the halacha, there's nothing wrong with that, because the prohibition is to swear on Hashem's name in vain. But this is how sacred and how fearful a shvua was in their eyes, and especially in with Hashem's name. Now, as we mentioned, this nedorim u'shvuos, oaths, vows and oaths, we have, there are many, many halachas which deal with this, which pertain, and we have a great deal of Torah Shebal Peh, Masechtos. But what is relevant to what we're going to speak about this evening is firstly to mention a category which is known as Nidrei u'Shvuos shel Kesherim, and the Nidrei and Shvuos shel Rishoyim. The Nidrei, those people that take oaths and vows to do harm to others, like they say that I swear I will do this to so and so, or to strengthen their machlekes, their faribles, and their disputes with people. I swear that I will never talk to this person again, or I will never have anything to do with him, or I will never ask him to use anything of his, and so forth and so on. This is what the Gemara refers to as Nidrei Rishoyim. These are the Nidorim of Rishoyim, of evil people, and of Tipshim, the Gemara says, of fools. And even if they fulfill them. And Cholila, heaven forbid, a person should be from those. And especially if he uses Hashem's name for such things. And the Gemara brings on such Nedorim or Shvuos, if a person should happen to make such a vow or oath, he should immediately go to a Chacham, to a wise person, and Lishoel, to speak about the possible annulment. But we're going to speak this evening of what the Gemara refers to as the Nidrei Kesherim and the Shvuos shel Kesherim. Those Nidorim and those Shvuos which are kosher, which there's mitzvah in. And, excuse me, the Gemara brings that there are two types. One is called Nidrei Isha, and the other is called Nidrei Mitzvah, Nidrei Shvuos shel Mitzvah. One is where a person takes a vow to forbid something upon himself, and the other is where he takes a shvua or a vow to fulfill something, to do something. Now both of these, when are they kesherim? When they are meshazek him, they strengthen him in Avedas Hashem, in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Torah Mitzvahs. Nidrei Isur, the vows which forbids things upon himself. This is referring to where he forbids something upon himself which the Torah did not forbid on him, which is mutar, which is permissible. Nevertheless, he forbids it upon himself. And he does this as a siyog baharchoko. He does this as a safeguard, in order that he should not come to transgress the prohibition of the Torah itself. An example, a classical example we have of this in the Torah, is the Nozer, the Nazarite. Nidrei Mitzvahs and Shvuos shel Mitzvahs, second category of the Nidrei Kesherim, of the kosher and the Dorim, is where a person comes to be machayev himself. He comes to bind himself to do something which is a mitzvah. But not he's not merely machayev himself, binds himself to do a mitzvah which is explicit in the Torah, but it's a mitzvah because the Torah in general said it's a mitzvah. but not in the not in a particular or specific case. And he comes, and he is mechayev himself to do it in this specific case. For example, we have by a korban. The Torah said it's a mitzvah to bring korbanos, to bring sacrifices during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. If he obligates himself to bring this particular animal as a particular sacrifice, so this would be called as a nidre mitzvah. Or, for example, tzedakah. The Torah says you must give tzedakah. If a person pledges to give a specific amount to a specific cause or to a specific individual, so this is what is called nidre mitzvah. We have other such cases in the Gemara. The Gemara brings Omar Av Gidl. This is in Masechta Nedarim Dav Ches. Omar Av Ha'emer Ashkim Ve'eshne Perek Zeh Masechta Zu Ned Godel Noda L'Keil Yisrael. If a person takes a vow that in the next month he will learn this entire Masechta, or tomorrow he will learn so many Daf Gemara, so he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of learning. But the Torah did not specifically say that he had to learn that Masechta in the next month or tomorrow so many Daf Gemara. So if he takes such a vow, so this the Gemara praises and says this is a great neder. In general, Rav Gidl said, "Omara minayin shenishboin lekayim es hamitzvos." How do we know that a person can take a neder to strengthen his fulfillment of mitzvahs? Because David HaMelech said in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, "Nishbati ba'akayoma ba'akayema lishmon mishpatei tzidkecho," that he will undertake an oath to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. The Gemara actually goes into this because you can't take a shvua to on an explicit mitzvah that the Torah already has commanded you, because you're already sworn to do that mitzvah. So the Gemara goes into those protim. The Gemara says the shore leinish lizruze nafshe, that it's permissible for a person to strengthen himself in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nedarim and Shvuos. So these are Nidrei Ksherim, and these are the two types. One is where he forbids upon himself something that the Torah did not forbid. And the second is where he binds himself to do something which the Torah said was a mitzvah in general, and he specifically binds himself, like many times we'll make pledges to giving a certain amount of money to a certain cause. And this is when it's done to strengthen himself in Torah and mitzvahs. In general, that we find that a person should look for ways to strengthen himself in Torah and mitzvahs by forbidding upon himself something which the Torah did not forbid. Where do we find a source on that? The Gemara brings this in Masechta Yevamos Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara says that the Chachomim Osru Hashniyos La'arayos. The Torah gave us a whole list of people. There's 21 or 24, there's a whole calculation. Close relatives, immediate family, that we are not allowed to marry. But if they are a relative and a little distant, not such immediate family, then we are allowed to marry them. The Chachomim came along and they asked Shniyos La'arayos. Some of those that were relatives, but not from those that the Torah forbade, the Chachomim came and forbade. You might ask why. Where do they find a source to do this? Omar of Kahana Mehocha, Ushmaltem es Mishmalti. Posuk in Bayikro Yudches, a HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you shall guard my safeguard. Asu mishmeres lishmati. The Torah is called a mishmeres, a safeguard. You should make a mishmeres lishmati. Make a safeguard around that safeguard itself. The Maral explains in his Nesiva Prishus, the entire Torah is called the Mishmeres. It is something that guards us. It guards the person from doing that what's wrong. It guards the person from going astray. It guards the person from destroying himself, like we see in the world today. We live in a world today where there's no Torah, and the world destroys itself. Everyone and every nation is busy trying to destroy each other and the world. So therefore the Torah is called a Mishmeres. And we find that the Torah has given us Taryag Mitzvahs, 613 Mitzvahs, Shasha Mitzvahs Leisaseh, 365 negative commandments. The 365 negative commandments, the Gemara tells us, the end of Makkos, this relates itself to the 365 days of the orbit of the sun. Now, what is the significance of this, which we mentioned a number of times? Because the sun, that's the greatest physical force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. And therefore, he's called the Maor HaGadol, he's the Memsheles Hayom, he's the Melech. And he guards the entire world and holds it in order. If not for the force of the sun, its gravity, so the whole world would go into chaos. The whole solar system would go into chaos. So he guards it. And he has 365 points in which acts as parameters and constraints on the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man, gave to B'nai Noach 7, but to Klal Yisrael 365 mitzvahs leisaseh that act as constraints and parameters that keeps a person walking straight, not where he will go astray to the right or to the left, where it will become destructive. And then we have Ramach Mitzvahs Essays, 248 positive commandments. It's not enough for the person just not to do evil. That's not enough. For example, if you have a tree and you want a tree to produce beautiful fruit, so you have to guard it for anything that might damage the tree. So you have to guard it from storms and from hail and wind and insects and pollution and whatnot. But after you've guarded it from everything, it's not going to achieve anything for you unless it gives forth its fruits. And giving forth its fruits, it's going to need not only being guarded from the negative, but it'll need a positive force. So the 248 positive commandments, this is the positive force in the man, which will bring forth growth, fruits, the best of him. Now, all of this is called a mishmeres. The Torah is referred to as a mishmeres, that which holds man, guards him, and lets him come to his perfection. And the Torah wrote, Asu mishmeres l'mishmati. You should make a further safeguard around my safeguard, in order that you will not break through its walls and destroy it. So from here, the Chachomim learned that we have to safeguard the mitzvahs of the Torah. And we have to distance ourselves, not come too close to that what the Torah had forbade. In other words, not only transgress that what the Torah had forbade, but also not even come too close to that what the Torah has forbade. And this is called Archoka, or a Siyog. And that's where the Chachomim learned to make Archokas and Siyogim. And the example is Shnius Larais. The Torah Asad forbade certain immediate members of the family of intermarrying. The Chachomim broadened that in order that we should not even come close to that. And we have a number of sources in the Chazal for this. The Mishnah right at the beginning of Masechta Avos, Asu Siyog LaTorah. This was one of the first instructions of the great Anshei Knesset HaTorah. You want Torah to survive, you're going to have to protect it. And how do you protect it? Not only by fulfilling the Torah, but by even safeguarding the Torah, where you will not come close to transgressing it. Or in Masechta Avos Per Gimel Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Kiva Eimer Nedorim Siyog LaPrishus, that through vows, this would be a way a person can keep himself far from transgressing mitzvahs. And like we said, Dovra Melech Nishbati Va'akayema Lishmor Mishpatei Tzidkecho. Well, this was in the positive, that the Torah gave us mitzvahs to do. And sometimes we need an additional incentive. So, we have this Eitzah. The reason why this is all necessary, the Maral writes as follows. He says, firstly, gives two reasons. Firstly, he says, the person is not a sichli gomor. He's not just a person of intellect and intelligence, but also a balguf. He's also a physical human being. And the intelligence and the intellect which HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued in him, that is placed in the physical human being that he is made of. Now, it's the power of the intellect which can distinguish. It's the intellect which can be magdil bein tev l'ra. The goof, the physical person, cannot. And can come lidei ta'us, can come to error. You know, we have what is known as Abdullah, where we distinguish between Shabbos and Chol, the week. And in the Shemayna Esrei, we say the Havdolah in the Brocha of Ato Chonein Lodom Das, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving Das an intellect, an intelligence to a person. The Gemara says, why do you say Havdolah there? Because Im Ein Das Havdolah Minayin. Because how can one distinguish if he has no intelligence? The ability to distinguish between Kodesh and Chol, Shabbos and the week, or to distinguish between any two things, is built on the intelligence. The ability to distinguish between good and evil is only built in the intelligence. If a person lacks that intellect, then he cannot distinguish between one and the other. And it becomes a tarubis, it becomes a mixture. If a person was kula sichli, he was all intellect, then he wouldn't have to worry. He could distinguish. But since his intellect is placed in a physical, in a physical galem, in a mass of physical matter, and from there the human being was formed, therefore he can come lidei tos, he often comes to error. So this is one reason why we have to keep our distance and cannot come too close to that what is forbidden. Second reason he gives is a person was created actually by nature. He's created very wild. It says, ki ir pera odem yulad. He's actually like a young donkey when he's created. If you look at a child is built. This is how he's created. So he's created where he lacks discipline. This is his nature. the nature of a person. A person who is disciplined is not disciplined by nature. It's the nature of the person not to be disciplined. That a person is disciplined, that's the Gevuras Hadas al Haguf. That comes again from the Seichel, not from the nature of the order. See? It's the nature of a person not to have bounds, not to have limitations. And this we see in a child. Where does he get his bounds from and his limitations? That he gets when he matures and he learns through his mind how to control his nature. But it's not from the aspect of the nature. Secondly, the nature has in it the Yetzer Hara. This is besides his natural nature. Has in it the Yetzer Hara, a force which tries to entice him to destruction and evil. This is the Yetzer Hara. And when does the Yetzer Hara enter the person? It's brought the minute he's born. Torah tells us, Ki Yetzer Leiva Odom Ra Min Urev, and Pashas Nayach, that Min Urev, from his youngest days, actually the Gemara says from the minute he starts to come out of the womb, yes. Then Yetzer Leiva Odom Ra, the evil force enters into him. So it comes out like this, that from the perspective of the nature of the human being, he has no bounds, no limitations, no control, no discipline. On top of that, he's got a Yetzer Hara that entices him and tries to tempt him to do evil, to destroy himself. Therefore, he needs a shmirah. You have to guard him very carefully. Now, actually we find the Chazal tell us that a child needs to be watched far more than a newborn animal. For example, you don't have to watch a newborn animal from jumping into the water or jumping into a fire. But a child, you have to. Because the newborn animal, or the animal, was not given much of an intellect at all. Because he wasn't given an intellect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him instinctive qualities. And it's that instinct that controls him. Man, who was given an intellect, was given far less instinctive qualities. The child, therefore, doesn't have the instinctive qualities because he's a human being. But from the other aspect, he doesn't have that intellect and maturity yet, where the Das is misgabir, where the Das controls him. That's why a little child needs far more watching than even a little animal. Now, because of this, a person needs to be careful. He needs a shmirah. The greatest sakona, the greatest danger to the person, is when he comes close to that which is evil. Not that when he's far away from it. For example, if a person doesn't play with fire, he's not going to get burnt. If he plays with fire, he can get burnt. Because when he's far away, there's already a great havdolah, there's a great distinction. But when he's close, now it takes more power to distinguish. And the seichel can distinguish, but the human body misleads the seichel many times. Plus, by nature, he does not like these confines and limitations. And the Yetzer Hara is trying to entice him. So the greatest danger to the person is not when he's far from danger, but when he's close. Therefore, the Torah saw it was necessary to create harchokos, that the Chazal should create harchokos to keep a person. It's not enough to lead a person to there to forbidden fruits and tell him he should not eat, but to keep him distant from forbidden fruits. and then he will not eat. Now this is something that we all know by daily experiences. For example, there are many people that they don't have a problem staying away from food that's not kosher. It's not a problem. But when they eat food that's kosher every day, almost on a daily basis, they'll tell you, I ate too much today. See, I overate. Or you have many people that will not eat something that's not kosher, but at the same time, they'll eat things which are not good for the person, and they'll tell you, I shouldn't have eaten that, or why did I eat this? Well, why couldn't we control ourselves on that, just like we control ourselves on something that's not kosher? The answer is because on something that's not kosher, we don't come near. So it's not so difficult to stay away from it. But on a food that is kosher, that we are eating all of the time, now it takes an enormous distinction, an enormous discipline to say, I'll eat this and not that, or I'll only eat this and not more. You have many people that have this problem with drinking, that they say, I don't drink at all, because if I'm going to drink a little, I'm going to overdo it. You have this with smoking. People will say, look, I can't smoke one cigarette, two cigarettes. Actually, there used to be an advertisement for some type of a potato chip, I believe, where they said, we dare you to eat just one. You have this with drugs, with addiction. You stay away from it. It's easy to stay away from it. But if you're going to dabble in it a little, it becomes very, very difficult not to become hooked on it. You have it with gambling. Most of the time you've got people that either don't gamble at all or people that gamble too much. And so is it with midas, with the quality of people, the different characteristics. If somebody will be careful never to get angry, he won't get angry. But someone who sometimes gets angry but then tries to control his anger, very, very difficult. Or if you have people that, how many times do you hear that if I stay out of the shops, I don't spend any money. If I go in, I spend much more than I should have. Because when the person comes close to that, what he shouldn't do, there you need enormous abilities to distinguish between that what's good and that what's not. And the human being, the goof, will cause the mind to err. He'll give 100 reasons why you need this, why you need that, and why you deserve this and why you deserve that. And on top of it, by nature, the person doesn't like the discipline, and the Yetzer Hara there is there pushing him. But if you're far away, then it's not difficult at all. And the same thing when it comes to kumvase, doing what you have to do. we see many times, a person many times says, look, I must give some money to that institution, I must give some money to that person, I must give stocky here, I'm going to do it. And it goes on and on and on. But if he makes a pledge he'll do it, then he has to do it. Or how many people go on exercise programs and they go on and off and on and off and on and off. But if they have something else that'll bind them to it, then they'll stay on it. We find this also. This is what David HaMelech said. He wrote, "B'derech Rishoyim lo holach, u'b'meishiv leitzim lo yoshav." The Chazal cautioned us very, 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 very much on who to keep company with. You keep company with good people, it's easy to be good. You keep company with bad people, you have to be a gone to stay good. Right? And the Rambam writes, when it comes to Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, which the Gaon writes on that, the Vilna Gaon, he says, "Mali lahayrech ala oven achamura b'chol atera kula." He says, "What should one elaborate on the Aveda, which is the greatest Aveda in the entire Torah?" The Rambam writes, "What is the cause of Lashon Hara?" He says, "The cause of Lashon Hara is a simple cause." He says, "Who your friends are." He says, "If you sit down with people who speak Lashon Hara, you're going to speak Lashon Hara. How's it possible? You sit down with people who speak Lashon Hara and you can't speak, and you don't speak Lashon Hara. If you stay away from such groups, then you won't speak Lashon Hara." This is what Dovra Melech said, "Rabbi Meshiv Leitzim lo Yoshev, lo Yoshev." He says, "I won't sit in a place with idle gossipers or scoffers. If you sit amongst them and you don't scoff and you don't gossip, for that you have to be a tzaddik gomor. If you stay away from them, harchoko, you distance yourself, then it's easy." And this is all in line with what we're saying. Incidentally, the Vilna Gaon writes that when you stay away from something, you're free of it. But once you're caught in its web, then it's very, very difficult to get out. He says this is a great obligation on every parent, that to bring up children with good habits. Because, he says, our Chazal say, our hergol shelet al kol dover. The way a person is used to doing something, that's how he continues doing it. Or he's caught in the web of it. And it states, gam ki yaskin lo yosur mimenu. The way a person is brought up in his youth, that's the way he'll go in his old age. Therefore, if you bring up a child with bad habits, he says, you can ruin that child for life. If you bring up a child which is used to saying Lashon Hara, used to lying, used to fighting, used to swearing, he says, used to eating things that are not good for him, not controlling himself, he says, you're preparing him for a life of destruction. However, if you bring up a child, you teach him that he has to take care of himself, he has to brush his teeth, he has to keep clean, he has to eat only food that's healthy, he shouldn't eat junk, he shouldn't overeat, he shouldn't undereat, he should exercise. He says, these are things that will stay with him for life. And then he adds, he says, gam harosho, he says, yedeya mrireis nafshay, bereitze lifreish imenu. He says, the rosho knows how bitter his own life is, and he wants to change. But he can't, because he's been hooked on that for too long. So this is also very important in this discussion. Today we're living in a world which doesn't know of all of these things. When it comes to archokos, to keep your distance from fire. Now, the world likes to play with fire. You have Hollywood that's built on enticement and temptations. You have the whole gigantic force of the media, advertisement, which is just built on enticement and temptations. It's a world of drugs and liquor and arms, where you have one of the greatest industries in the world is to manufacture arms, and then everybody seems surprised that everybody shoots the arms at each other. And so forth. And this is why we have a world today that is mamish achurban, which is a total destruction, total devastation. Now, on this set we've said that a person has to know himself, and he has to carefully guide himself and place himself. The Chazal tell us three things on this, three important principles which are very important. Firstly, this that a person should undertake prohibitions on himself, al-chokos, yogim, or to do even that which the Torah didn't specifically command him to do. This is firstly, this is only where this will help him in Avedas Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do more Torah and more mitzvahs. But otherwise, then this is something which there's no discussion. Person certainly should not get involved. Secondly, the Chazal and the Kadmeinim and the early Meforshim tell us that this is only when he forbids upon himself something which is not of utmost necessity to himself, but what is known as maestres. Maestres is that what he can do with, he can do without, extras. But to forbid upon himself something which is of a necessity to a person, this a person is not allowed to do. And to the contrary, if he does it, he's called a chayta, he's called a sinner. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the entire world to a person to partake from, not to abstain from. And in this we have many, many statements from the Chazal. For example, Ayeshi Betainas Nikra Cheta, that someone who is always fasting and abstains and does not allow himself to enjoy food, he's a cheta, he's a sinner. Or the Gemara, there's a whole discussion. The Nozer, from one perspective, was a sanctified person where he did it, l'shem shamayim, and so forth and so on. But on this other, from the other perspective, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara that he's a chayta, because le'day ma'ash osalon atheir, it's not enough what the Torah forbade, you have to go and forbid more. And this is not the aveda of Avas Hashem. We have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'av. And to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'av, a person has to be mesameach from everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him into this world. So therefore the second principle that the Chazal say is that this is where a person is memayat, he minimizes in extras, in things that the body doesn't need. But in what a person needs, if he needs it, if it's a genuine need physically or emotionally or psychologically, there he is not allowed to abstain from it. The Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Gimel, Midas Aprishus, brings from the Yishalmi, where the Yishalmi says, "Shosid Odom Litain Din Livne Hamokom, Al Kol Ma Shero U Einov, Velerotze Lechel Mimenu, Afapisho Yamutulei, Vohoy Yochel." A person is going to have to give an answer to the Almighty on everything that his eyes saw that was permissible that he did not enjoy.
And the basis and the pasuk in Keheles v'chol asher shalu einai lo atzalti mehem. Shlema Melech said that whatever I saw, I partook from. Now this means as follows. If he sees something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into this world, and it's permissible to partake from it, and it's good for him to partake from it, then he's going to have to answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't I give you such a beautiful thing? Why didn't you take from it? I mean, like you come to a king's table and he puts beautiful fruit on the table and you say, no, thank you. You say, this is just contrary to Avodas Hashem, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or another such example we have where Hillel used to say, Gemel Nafshoi Ish Chosid. Someone who does good for himself is also a chosid. A chosid is not only someone who does good for others, but someone who also does good for himself. What does that mean? So Hillel used to say, Alachilas Beike v'hoyereich itzpona v'yodam, when he would eat a good breakfast in the morning, he would say, this is a chasidus. I'm a chosid. Who am I doing chasidus to? I'm doing chasidus to my body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. When he used to go to the bathhouse and to bathe, so he used to say that I'm a chosid. I'm a very, very righteous person. Who are you a chosid to? So he used to say, what would happen if a king would give you a beautiful statue made out of precious metal, let's say silver or gold? So wouldn't you polish it? Wouldn't you shine it? Wouldn't you keep it clean? Wouldn't you take care of it? Definitely. So then how much more so your own body that the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the King of all kings, has given to you? This that you keep yourself nice and healthy and beautiful, how much more so is this a mitzvah? So this is what he said, that Shlema Melech meant in Mishle Yuralev Gemel Nafsho Ish Chosid. He who does good and takes care of himself, that's a chasidus. He's a chosid, he's a saintly person. Because just like it's a mitzvah to do good for others, you also have to do for yourself. So therefore we must not confuse the issues here. That a person distances himself from the actual prohibition by forbidding himself other things. Firstly, this is only where it strengthens the person to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he can serve more, and this is only on extras, on meiseresh, where things which are not a prerequisite or things which are not imperative for the person. But if they're imperative for the person, or if it's not necessary to distance yourself, then to the contrary, if he did, he would be nikra chayta. He would be a chayta, and he would have to answer for it. Because from that aspect, you have to partake from everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into this world in order to serve him with great simcha, in order to partake from his blessings. This is like he told Adam and Chava, Mikol Eitz Hagan Tochel. You shall eat from all of the trees of the garden, except one, the umglik, the problem was they ate from the one that they weren't supposed to. Then that's the second principle. Then there's a third principle that the Chazal tell us. And that is, all of this that we're speaking about, that to distance yourself through prohibitions, the Chazal tell us, it's best to do it though without nedarim and shvuos. Don't make a neder and don't make a shvuah. The Gemara in Masechta Nedarim goes to great length, because in general it was not happy with people making such Nedarim. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, he brings Misha Nora Nedarim Kedei Lachenen De Oseh V'Lasakin Maisov. Someone who makes vows in order to make himself better and perfect himself. Harei Zeh Zoros U'Meshugach. This is praiseworthy. For example, in just what we've been saying. For example, someone who is a glutton and he's always overeating, so he takes a vow that he will not eat meat for a whole year. Or someone who can't control himself when it comes to wine and alcohol, so he takes a vow that he's not going to touch a drop for a long time. Or someone who's always, he always wants things, he always wants things. He's always trying to amass more. So he takes a vow that he will not accept any gifts from anyone for many years. Or someone who becomes so preoccupied with his own beauty. The Gemara brings this as a case by a Nozir, that he became obsessed with his own beauty, till finally he accepted upon himself to become a Nozir, a Nazirite, where he has to cut off his hair. So he says all of these are Der Havodas Lashem. And this is what the Chazal said in the Dorim Siyug L'Prishus. This is all Koshin the Dorim. Afal Pishen Avoda, but still, even though this is all to serve Hashem, Lo Yarba Odom Medidra Yisr V'Lo Yargul Atzmo Behem. A person shouldn't get involved in it. Ela Yifresh Midvorim Shirei Lifresh Mehem B'Lei Neder. But it would be much better if he abstains from what is necessary for him to abstain from, but without a neder. In general, the Chazal said, "Kol aneder ki lebona bama latzmai." Someone who makes nedarim, it's as if he's building a false altar for himself. So this was the other principle that Chazal said. It's far better to do it without nedarim. As far as that's nidrei iser, as far as nidrei mitzvah, to take a neder or a shvua that I will do something, not to prohibit, but I will do something. This some say also you shouldn't. Others say there no. There you should. This is a discussion. For example, I accept upon myself to bring tomorrow a korban, a sacrifice. There were those who held that you shouldn't pledge money with an eder. Better you want to give the money, give it without an eder. There was others that held no, because we see it works. We see when people say they'll give, but they never come to giving. But the Yetzirah is there to stop them. There's always this reason and that reason. Don't give now because there's this expense, and don't give this, and so forth. But if a person undertakes a pledge to pay it out during whatever, he does it. It was always the minig of Lita to make pledges. That's why it's common here that at the Sefer Torah they would make pledges, right? For that reason. But under prohibitions to forbid yourself, there the Chazal said better to do it without nedarim. Now, one further point on this, and this is a very special point, and that is that when a person accepts upon himself archoka, in other words, a prohibition to distance himself from the actual prohibition of the Torah, this is what is known Lesser Amuter, to forbid that what is permissible. So this is what is known in many cases as a Chumra. He's accepting upon himself something Yeser Min Hadin, more than the Halacha requires. And this is the Midas HaPrishus. The Mesillas Yesharim brings that the Prishus is the Tchilas HaChasidus. This is the beginning of Chasidus. Just like Chasidus is when a person, what is Chasidus? He says there's that what is a tzaddik. A tzaddik is to fulfill the mitzvahs the way they should be fulfilled. Chasidus is when you go lifnim meshur hadin, where you go beyond the halacha and you fulfill the mitzvah in the best possible way, with all the trimmings, all the frills. Mitzvah min amufchar, with all the hidurim. See? This is Midas Chasidus. So he says Prishus is also Tchilas HaChasidus. This is a gather of Chasidus. Except the Chasidus generally is the fulfillment of mitzvahs, and precious is generally the prohibition of something that you're not going to do. Now, on this he says a very important principle, and that is, when it comes to fulfilling the mitzvah in accordance to the minimal requirements, that one must always do, unless the halacha states he doesn't have to in a particular situation, but generally that a person must always do. But when it comes to precious or chasidus, which means that he has accepted upon himself to do, to forbid upon, to accept a prohibition which according to the Torah is allowed, or to do more than the mitzvah which according to the Torah is not the minimal requirement. So this is not something which is incumbent upon the person. He says then one has to weigh that very carefully. And this is what he calls this the he calls this the shikol ha-chasidus, how one must weigh the chasidus. And he says this is the avoda which is kosher shebekulam. This is the most difficult avoda. Why? Because you have to weigh it with great chokhmah. Because many times a person could undertake a chumrah which he thinks is good, and he can create a churban. Or he can undertake a chasidus which he thinks is good, and he can create a churban. And this is why a chazal has said, lo am oretz chosid, that chasidus and precious is not for someone who is an am oretz, where he is not a wise in Torah, or alti atzadik harbe, Shlema Melech said. Don't be too much of a tzaddik. We see that even Shaul HaMelech was nichshol in this. By Shaul HaMelech, when it came to destroy Amalek, so he wanted to show an extra dimension of Rachmonis. And he didn't want to kill everyone. And showing an extra dimension of Rachmonis was a chasidus. Meanwhile, he almost destroyed all of Klal Yisrael with that extra dimension of Rachmonis. Because from there, he saved the king. And from there came Haman. And Haman came a hair's breadth from being La'abed as Kol HaYehudim, from destroying all of the Jews. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed a finger at Shaul and said, Al Ti Atzadik Harpe. You must fulfill the mitzvah, but be careful not too much, because what you think might be mitzvah can bring churban. And he says this is the avoda which is kosher shebekulam. He says therefore when it comes to the mitzvah, you're going to have to do the mitzvah, minimal requirements. But when it comes to anything more than minimal requirements, he says you can't look at what the mitzvah is now. You have to have the wisdom and the foresight to see what all of the eventualities will be. All of the tolodas, all of the fruits and the outgrowths will be from your act. If it's good, then do it. But if it's going to be bad, what will come out from it? Not so good. Then he says, the chasidus is the precious, the chasidus is not to do it. The chumra and the hidur is not to do it. And he gives many examples. For example, he says, what will be if this, what you're going to do here, this precious or this chasidus, is going to make you different than everyone else? Pedish minatzibur. Or, for example, people will scoff at you. Or, for example, it'll make you look arrogant in the eyes of people. Or, for example, it'll come lidei machlekes. Or, for example, it'll create divisions. He says, Chas v'sholem, then a person should do it. With his chassidus, he's causing korban. And he brings a number of cases in the Gemara where we see this. One has to do with Tisha B'Av, which incidentally next week will be the shiur for Tisha B'Av. He says, Yerushalayim was destroyed because of a chassidus shesera. The story of Kamsa bar Kamsa, when they sent an animal. There was this Kamsa wanted to get Klal Yisrael into trouble. So he went to the Romans and said, send them an animal and you'll see they won't make a sacrifice out of your animal. So he took an animal and he made a wound in it. This is in Perek Chof, Mishkala Hasidus. He made a wound in it in order that the Jews will not be able to sacrifice it. And this way the Romans will think that this is an affront and they're rebelling. So the Chachomim didn't know what to do. So they decided, they said, Tzova Rabbonan Likruvei. The Rabbonan said, in such a case we have to sacrifice it because otherwise it can endanger the Jews. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkolas was a great chosid, and he said, no, because we cannot. We have to be machmir and not sacrifice it, because otherwise people will say that a baal mum, an animal that's injured, you could sacrifice. So then they said, all right, let's chop this guy and we'll kill him, so he won't be able to go back to the Romans, because this is a deadly person. It's a murderer. He's going to get the Romans after us. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas again was a chosid, and he said, no, because people will say that whoever puts an injury in a korban will be put to death. So while this was all going on for I don't know how many hours or days, this Rosha went and he slandered Israel in the eyes of the Romans. The Caesar came, the Caesar came, Hichriv Yushalayim, and he destroyed Yushalayim. And the Rabbi Yechanan said on this in later generations, on the Sonusei Shel Rabbi Zechariah, because of the extra dimension of humility of Hasidus, Rabbi Zechariah, Hechrivu as Beisenu, our Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Sofra as Hecholenu, our Hechol, our Kodesh was burnt, and we went into exile. There was another case he brings by Gedaliah ben Achikom, that someone wanted to warn him that they were out to assassinate him, and he refused to listen because he said that I will not listen to Lashon Hara. Now it's very admirable not to listen to Lashon Hara, but there are many times when not only we are committed, but we are obligated. But he was a chosid, so he was machmer, he wouldn't listen to any Lashon Hara. It led to his assassination, and this was the beginning of the Churban. This is the same Gedaliah that we have. He brings another case where he says, even though the Torah tells us, Hecheach techiach es amisecho, that you should constantly rebuke your fellow man if he's not doing mitzvahs, or if he's going to do avera, you should rebuke him. But still the Chazal said that what happens, kishem shemitzvah leim adover anishma, kach mitzvah shalei leim adover shein anishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to tell someone something that he will accept, so is it a mitzvah not to tell someone something that he will not accept. He says, what happens if you will tell people that this is what they're supposed to do, this is what they're supposed to not do, and this will cause them to make machlekes, and this will cause them to scoff at you, and because of that they will be punished, but you are the ones who caused it. He says the chassidus is the shtika. The chassidus is to be silent. So he says, even though something might look good now, if it's a mitzvah, the minimal requirement, then you must do it. But if it's more than what's the requirement, if it's a chumra, a hidur, a precious, a hasidus, he says, then you have to see what its long-reaching effects are. If the long-reaching effects all around are good, then do it. But if it's going to have bad effects, then the hasidus, he says, is not to do it. He brings many such cases. One final case he brings is Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon wanted to say Krishna one day in such a way that he would fulfill the halacha not only according to Beis Hillel but even according to Beis Shammai, because there was a dispute between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and Mishamayim he almost got killed. When he told the Chachomim, they said it was justified that you almost got killed. And he said, why? He said, because you were machmir ki Beis Shammai. But he said, if I was machmir, if I did it the other way, it was only good according to Beis Hillel. This way I was machmir, and it was good according to everyone. So how can you say it was justified when Shammai almost killed me for it? He said, because we suffered for years a split in Klal Yisrael between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And now that finally the halacha was determined that you should do like Beis Hillel, when people will see that you're doing also like Beis Shammai, you're going to bring the whole machlekes back and split Klal Yisrael again. Therefore, you should have been killed. That's what they told Reb Tarfon. This is what he brings. Now, our generation today, you should know, is very far from this. Because for some reason, our generation feels that the more hidurim and the more chumras that one does, and the more division and the more machlekes they make, is a mitzvah. But you should know this is contrary to everything that the Chazal say, and contrary to the way it was in the previous generations. We just learned a Gemara today. It's a Tosfos. I learned it yesterday. We didn't quite get to the shiur yet on that. But in Masechta Bamatzias in Ezur Neshech, that the Gemara says that when you lend money, you're not allowed to take ribis interest. If you lend money and the person gives you some land for collateral, and he says that while you're holding it, you can farm the land and keep the harvest. And then when I pay you back the money, I'll take the land back. This is not so legal. It's not so kosher, because he's lending the money, he's going to give it back plus the harvest for nothing. So it's a question of ribis. So the Gemara goes through a number of such cases. Mashkanto. So the Gemara brings a case which it calls Mashkanto de Kaiso. And it says that's permissible, but a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do it. Because even though it's permissible, but it's very close to a gray area, and a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do it because a Talmud Chacham has to be more careful, because people will see what he does and they'll learn from it. Therefore, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do it. The mother later on brings that Ravina did it. He lent money with such a business, and he did it. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, how did Ravina do it? The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham shouldn't do it. So Rabbeinu Tam says, Ravina lo hayareitze litl Hashem velasis atzmois tzur mirabonim. Ravina, the reason why he did it is because he didn't want to place himself on record that he's such a Talmud Chacham that they were referring to can't do it, that cannot do it. It would be an arrogance. So therefore, even though a Talmud Chacham was supposed to be Machmir, Ravina won't do it, because he would say, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham. Now Ravina was from the very last Amoraim that concluded the Shas. Ravina, Ravashi, and Baba Ravashi. And they wrote the conclusion to the Shas, where the Rambam brings, we can add to anything they say. Once Ravina, Ravashi, Baba Ravashi, that was the conclusion to the Shas, no longer can we add to it. That will stay for generations, forever. And in many, many places, the halacha is always like Ravina. Many, many places in Shas. See, he was a Talmud Chacham Muflag, an enormous Talmud Chacham. Still, he was afraid to be Machmir because of the long-term ramifications that people would think, look who's holding himself as a Talmud Chacham. And this was the way of the previous generations. I've quoted many times from Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha. Moshe Feinstein was from the daily, he was the greatest posek of the last generation, where he writes that there was a certain whiskey that they made in America that according to the letter of the law was permissible, but it was very close to a gray area because there were the great authorities that held it was not. So therefore he himself would not drink it, but he said nevertheless if he was in shul and they were drinking a l'chaim, and this was the bottle of whiskey they were using, so he says rather than to separate himself from the chevra and to make himself look like he's holding himself as a big Talmud Chacham, he would drink a little to make a l'chaim. Now this wasn't a tailor speaking, this was the Ramesh of Feinstein. Now this is what the Masilas Yeshorim is speaking about. He says, Mishkola Hasidus, to weigh the Hasidus, when one should do it and when one should not do it, he says, this is a avoda which is kosher, shebekulam, and one has to have great wisdom, otherwise he can create churbonus with it, and that's why it was for great people. So this is the same here, that when it comes to krishus, what a person should add to or not, firstly the Chazal say nedorim you shouldn't make. You should do it without nedorim. And only on that which, on something that the person doesn't need. Something which is superfluous to the person, extras. But then, even then, a person has to be very, very careful when he does it, how he does it, and where he does it. And he has to weigh very carefully all the long-term ramifications or the ramifications in general all around it. So these are some of the principles which are very important principles that we learn from this parsha of the Dorim and Shavuos.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.